Glory, honor, praise, and worship to that name. To that name, to that name, to the name. Hallelujah. 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 For when I was risen, saith the Lord, you were raised together with me. And now it's time that you step into that place. It's time that you start to walk and to live in that place of resurrection. And not as mere men, for those days are over, saith the Lord. For I'm moving forward, and I put the resurrection spirit in you. So yield to that spirit. Walk in that glory. Yes, yes, and it'll fulfill the desires of your heart. For many times you look and think, oh, I desire this, or I desire that. That's your flesh, and that's your unrenewed mind. Look on the inside. There's a glory that you desire. No natural thing can touch, nor no natural thing can fulfill. But I'm the one who will fulfill it in you, and you will walk in my glory. Hallelujah. 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 Jesus is alive. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise God. Most of the church world is living with a Jesus that is history. People look into the past and they know the Jesus. You can know the history and you can know the Jesus of the past, but I want to know, do you know the Jesus who's today alive? Do you know the one who has risen from the dead? And he's no longer living as under being a man in this world. He's God. And he's living fully today as a resurrected God-man. It's a whole lot different than that one that walked the earth. And we need to understand that. Most of the church world today, he came out of a tomb. A guy was just raised from the dead, you know, and it's exciting. And then tomorrow, it's the same old dead life again. And that's not what God has planned for the church. God has planned that his life would be revealed in us. We're talking this morning again about faith in the name of Jesus. What better to have faith in the name that we celebrate Easter. When I say that word Easter, I almost don't like to say it. It ain't got nothing to do. It's a worldly thing that Christians did. It was, you know, the Catholic Church back centuries ago became the first church that was seeker friendly. They bought the people in the world in, and so to keep them, what they did was start giving them what they wanted. You know, Easter and all the things with the Easter eggs and everything, that all came in. That all came in through them because they celebrated their spring celebration, and they used to, you know, that's where the rabbit things come. Rabbits multiply and all this kind of stuff. And they did that, and they brought all that. That's where all that stuff came from. And so what they did is they took what the world did, and then they took things and made things out of them for us as Easter, you know, and put them in. But, you know, that stuff gets celebrated more than Jesus Christ is celebrated. There's a resurrection took place. You know what? I don't care if it's in the middle of winter. I'm going to tell you what, you're supposed to live the life of resurrection. You're not supposed to be living because the spring comes. Now we're just, oh, now we're, yes, spring is a sign of this and that. I'll tell you what's a sign is the Lord Jesus Christ is my sign. Hallelujah. Whether spring ever comes again or not, hallelujah, it matters not. We're to live in a glory and to walk in a glory no matter what it is. We're supposed to live. You know, when the Church of Jesus Christ first began to meet, they met on a Sunday because Saturday was the Sabbath, but he resurrected on a Monday, it was Sunday, so Sunday they met, and it was the whole point is met. That was Resurrection Day. And they met every Sunday on Resurrection. You know, the Sunday is not the Sabbath. Never has been, never will be. It's not the Sabbath. And, you know, it says, remember the Sabbath, keep it holy. Paul wrote, he said, whatever day you consider holy, you consider whichever one you choose, whatever days you want to. So, you know, we don't have anybody putting certain days on us. The church world, boy, they're all about days. They're all about all that stuff. The day is more important than God. Oh, yeah. I mean, the things we've gotten around to. Well, we need to get over and realize is number one is begin, especially the church. The church today doesn't preach resurrection. It only gets one day a year. The church only has resurrection one day a year, and that's it. And this is why most of the church world lives like hell. Because they don't know they're resurrected with Christ. All they get is one resurrection, and that was Jesus. And the people, you're all dead for another year. So, and really, that's what they do. You know, we understand the importance. Paul writing to the church at Corinth, because surely they had questions. One of the things that the early church had was this, that the Jews would come into the church, the ones who were not Christian, would come in and try to get the believers and tell them, you have to follow the law. You got to follow the law, you know, yeah. You can believe on Jesus, but you must follow the law. And that's what they would do. And one of the things that you had, the Sadducees, who, if you look in Jesus' time, the Sadducees had the high priest, role. They did. The Sadducees held it. The Sadducees did not believe in the resurrection from the dead, and they also didn't believe in angels. So we know this, they never read the scriptures. And even in our Old Testament scriptures, you can find resurrection and you can find loads of angels. And they don't believe it, but they're in there. And we have that in the church world today. You can go to all kinds of churches, and it ain't just some denominational church. You can go into all kinds of churches. And some of them say they believe it, but if one of them showed up, they'd throw you out. If one of them, you said you saw one, they'd think you're an idiot. So it was too late. I'm an idiot, let me alone. Hallelujah. You know, you can throw me out. I would definitely leave if you didn't want me. That's just the way it is. Hallelujah. So praise God. But anyhow, so these are things that they put up with, people would hear. They would hear things, you know, that the resurrection, you know, wasn't so. And Paul, writing to them in 1 Corinthians, the 15th chapter, Paul writes clearly the importance of the resurrection for the church. The importance of your believing in the resurrection. And Paul, the Apostle Paul says this. Now, we need to understand this when we talk about resurrection. We're not talking about just somebody coming to physical life. If Jesus only came back physically, you're still, forget it, you're lost. He had to be born again spiritually. That's why you can be born again. If he wasn't, if Jesus didn't die in my sin and pay the price in hell, I will. You know, there's much of the church world today don't believe that Jesus went to hell. There's a lot of people say New Testament churches, and they don't believe Jesus went to hell. They believe, no, he couldn't have gone there. He was God. He couldn't end up there. He didn't go there as God. He went there as man. And if he didn't pay the price for my sin, I will. And my price of my sin is separated forever with God, going to hell and then ending up in the lake of fire. If he didn't end up there, you will. So I know this, I won't. Hallelujah. Praise God. He died. He paid the price for me. He took my judgment. Glory to God. He took your judgment so you could have life. Now in the 15th chapter, I'm going to start at verse 16. We could read it, a whole part there, but I'm just going to... Verse 16 says, "For if the dead do not rise, then Christ is not risen. And if Christ is not risen, your faith is futile. You are still in your sin. Then also those who have fallen asleep in Christ have perished. If in this life only we have hope in Christ, we are of all men the most pitiable." See, Christianity, this is our life that we have here. It's not just about this life. It's the life to come. It's a life that we have. We have eternal life. Eternal life is not living forever, because all spirit beings live forever. Everybody who is lost, they're going to live forever in the lake of fire. They're going to be alive forever in the lake of fire. It's not living forever. It is the life of God. Eternal life is having God's life. Because the Bible says there's eternal death. Eternal death is the lake of fire. It's eternal death. There is eternal life. Why? They're spiritually separated from God. You and I are not separated God. By our faith, we're united with Him. But He tells us right here, if Christ is not risen, your faith is futile. This is why a lot of people don't get born again in so-called churches preaching what they call the gospel, because the gospel's not preached. We preach the forgiveness of sin, which is correct, but we tell people that's what they need to believe. You need to understand, Paul never told that you got saved by believing, for asking forgiveness of your sin, or believing God, you know, took care of your sin. No, we need to get a hold of this. In Romans 10, let's go over to Romans 10, and it says what you're supposed to be believing. And see, people can't believe what's not preached. We preach a forgiveness of sin gospel, which is, thank God He does, but we act like that's the end of something. And it's not. The Apostle Paul, you know, it's always amazed me, because people I've heard evangelists, they talk about the Roman road to salvation, and then they turn around and don't even use it to bring people to Christ. They don't preach resurrection and believing in a resurrection. All they preach is forgiveness of sin. Well, the people believe in forgiveness of sin. You can believe in forgiveness of sin and never get born again. You need to understand this. What did he say? If Christ not risen, therefore one must have faith that Christ is risen. You cannot get born again without believing Jesus Christ is alive, that he was raised from the dead. Because the Bible tells us he was raised for our justification. I'm not justified without resurrection. I'm not justified on just forgiveness of sin. I'm not justified before God. We're going to look from a scripture standpoint. We have to understand these things in our celebration. We need to know the fullness of what the resurrection's about if we're going to celebrate it, if we're going to have it. Now, in Romans 10, what does it say? He said, the word is near you. It's in your mouth and in your heart. Now, I like this because he makes this statement. That is the word of faith which we preach. In other words, you need to get this, folks. People are only going to have faith in what you preach. And if you don't preach the right thing, they cannot have faith for it. You can't have salvation if you preach something other than the Bible said, which brings you to salvation. The word of faith, Paul's preaching what you need for faith to be born again. What a person needs. What they need to believe. And we find out here, he says to us, in other words, it's the word of faith which we preach. And here he said, this is what we preach. That if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus, or it would be best said this way, is really from the standpoint of the Greek, if you confess Jesus as Lord. Confessing Jesus as your Lord. Well, number one, we don't even tell people they have to make Jesus their Lord. You know, Jesus is just about fixing your problems. He don't rule over your life. Lord means he rules over you. I want to tell you, over the years, I've seen this many times. Until a Christian finally lets Jesus Lord over them, you're not going to amount to nothing much as a Christian. You can sit down and study all the principles of faith and how to get stuff and all those kind of things, but you'll never have a powerful Christian life till he's Lord. That'll never happen. I don't care what you learn about the rest of it. He has to be able to rule you. If he cannot, you will not know his power to any extent. He don't cast pearls before swine. He don't turn the power up on people that'll blow up. You got to be a capacitor for the power of God. Which means you got to submit yourself to God and let him rule over you, where somebody else don't have all the say in your life. And most of the time, that's us individually. We have all the say over our life. Well, you might as well say amen or oh me or ouch or something, because it's true. See, we need to understand this. So he said, we must confess with our mouth that Jesus is our Lord. He said, look, and believe in your heart, what? That God forgave us of our sins. Did he say that? Poor dumb Paul didn't know. We're so bright today. We're just so smart in the church world. We talk about reading the Bible. I wonder sometimes if 99% of the church ever reads the Bible, ever really stops and says, what are these words on these pages? Instead of, well, I just know, I'm just smart, I know this thing and I know. And we don't know it all. Look, you got to confess Jesus as Lord. Believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead. He said, if you do that, you will be saved. I wonder if that is really true. I wonder if there's any truth to that at all. I wonder. To most of the church world, that's not the truth. Ask Jesus into your heart. He'll come in. We have so many people that we have led to the place of religious belief, and now it's hard to try to ever reach them with the true gospel because you've told them they're okay. When they have never come to Christ. They've never been born again. That's why most of the church world lives like they do, because most people who call themselves Christians have never even been born again. They have come to a religious doctrine of the church they go to. I'm believing like Kenneth Hagin said. Kenneth Hagin used to tell us, you don't believe it because I say it. You make sure it's in the scriptures. That's why you look at the scripture and 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 look at the scripture. That's why I hardly have any time for much other reading of other stuff, and people send me stuff and tell me all to read. I'm sorry, I'm just trying to figure the Bible out. I'm looking at that and finding out, dear Lord, I thought I knew that. That went, oh my God, I didn't say that. Dear Lord, I'm not against other people. I've learned wonderful things from people. But you know, I got to examine for myself. I got to sit down and look. Does the scripture says this? Does it? You know, anyhow, when I get a book, I don't read books. I study them. You know, I don't take quotes. And some guy says, well, the Bible says. You know how many times I've had ministers say the Bible says and makes a quote, and they'll even give you a scripture reference. When you look up the reference, it isn't there. I've had that loads of times. The Bible says, and you go look, you can't find it. And there's things that people say that the Bible said, and it's preached a lot, and it's nowhere in the Bible. Which, you know this, the people sitting in the pews are never checking out to find out if it's true or real. They go home to next week, come back for another sermon. I'm doing my religious thing. I'll duck back down here behind this. Glory to God, it's true, the Word of God. Hallelujah. So the resurrection of Jesus must be preached to have faith, to be saved. You need to understand, the resurrection of Jesus is tied to your healing. It's tied to your prosperity. You have none of that except through the resurrection of Jesus Christ. You don't have any blessing under our new covenant other than through the resurrection of Jesus Christ. That's how it all came. You can't, without faith in the resurrection, what is the point? Say, well, I believe the rest of it. Why? For a guy who told a lie, he really wasn't resurrected? This is one of the things is we need to come back to the truth of things, you know. Today we have so much put out there and people hear it. The thing of it is, if we're going to reach the world, we're going to have to reach the world through the power of the Word of God. You know, I was over and I was, because the Lord did send me over to look at some things. I began to study back into the book that I had written on the triumphant church. And I went back over to begin to look at some things. The Lord wanted me to go there, and I went over and in studying things in there concerning the triumphant church, and really is doing the resurrection and looking at the things of our place of authority and where we stand. And see, when people lose this thing, when resurrection just becomes a thing on one Sunday a year and one thing, and you see it, what happened to it, it's just like, you know, with the birth of Christ, God becoming a man. This is what happens to it. The people began, and I watched over the years, it became a thing. These are family days and a time of family to get together with family. You know, when I was a kid, the church was the top place on those times for on a Sunday. You did not go to church so you could go eat somewhere with somebody. Everybody knew that you were going to be at church. You need to understand what this stuff did to the world. The world knows that the church don't have things that they uphold as high, so they don't either. You know? I heard Christians have them say, you know, Christmas is about family getting together. No, it's not. You know, the people that believe in Santa Claus are better off. Because Christians say we believe these things, but everything's thrown to the side. If the family says, oh, come at this time or come, you jump. You ask Wanda, my family, when they're going to have a celebration, you know what they got to be? They found out enough they're going to do it on a Sunday. They call me to ask me when I can be there. And that's when it starts. I'm the youngest in the family that they would never listen to or pay attention to. But they know this. When it comes to God, they ain't got a chance with it. They ain't got a chance with it. I tell them. I just say no. They say, do me there. Well, I'll be there when I can get there. And they found out it was true every time. So now they'll call and say, when can you be there? Because there's things I won't give up. There's things, hey, I love my family, but you give me Jesus' family, they're gone. They're out. I'm doing the best thing I could ever done for my family. Because number one, they respect the God in me. They know I won't back down from it. They know I won't. They know it ain't going to change. It's not going to move. I'm going to be the same tomorrow as I am today. Why? Because my life can change theirs. Today, the seeker friendly is in all the Christians' homes. Their homes have become the seeker friendly. Doing what we can, trying to keep the sinners in the family happy, worried about if the sinner in the family ain't happy. One thing is I always respected concerning my parents. There's a lot they didn't know about the Bible and stuff. But there's one thing, what they knew, they loved the Lord. But I'll tell you what, they gave their faith up for nothing. There was nothing. When it came to the family, I was never more important than their God. I am so glad they lived that in front of me. I am so glad that they did. Because number one, set me in a place today in my faith that I walk in because of where they walked. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Praise it. Folks, that's good preaching. This is Resurrection Sunday. But you know, there's one, you know, let me read something to you so you understand what's going on in me. I want to read something to you here. God's been dealing with me in some things that'll be helpful to you to understand. God wrote to, spoke to the prophet Jeremiah, and he said this to them. Jeremiah, the first chapter. I'm going to just go ahead and read. If you want to turn to that, you can go back later and look at it. But he said, then the word of the Lord, verse 4, came to me saying, before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. Before you were born, I sanctified you. I ordained you a prophet to the nations. Then I said, oh, Lord God, behold, I cannot speak, for I'm only a youth. But the Lord said to me, do not say I'm a youth, for you shall go to all those whom I send you. And wherever I command you to go, you shall speak. Do not be afraid of their faces, for I am with you to deliver you, says the Lord. Sometimes we look into some faces, I'm going to tell you. You're going to find it in life. But listen what he says. See, I have this day set over you the nations of the nations and over the kingdoms. Listen what he says to do. To root out, to pull down, to destroy, and to throw down, and to build, and to plant. Do you know why the church don't grow up today? And in most churches, even spirit-filled churches, people can't grow up. It's because nobody's rooting up and tearing out. We're planting and trying to plant and build all the time, planting and building in nothing but garbage soil. I don't care how good the seed is, if the soil's no good. Coming up, Christianity today has lots of junk that needs rooted out of it, pulled out of it, torn out of it. When you're going to, we talk about, you know, we always talk about, you know, God says it's a time of restoration. A time, you know what restoration is? You know, Mike was talking to me. He's doing a restoration project in his home and he's having to tear stuff out. You will not have a restoration with God till things can get pulled out and rooted out and the right things can get planted in you. If you plant in where there's lots of other junk, that other junk will choke out whatever you try to plant. Now, restoration, you know, just like a car. If I wanted to restore a car, you don't paint over the rust. Why? It ain't going to hold up. You're going to have it coming through. You got to cut it out. One thing about restoration, it's painful. You know, Mike read a scripture about being the fellowship of his suffering, Christ's suffering. Now, it's number one, we can deal with that in two different areas. You need to identify what Christ suffered for you that you don't have to suffer. But you also need to understand this. You're going to suffer persecution, and you're also going to suffer dealing with your flesh. Believe me. Oh, my. But you know, I got to the point, whatever it takes to bring me into line, whatever it takes, I'm going to have to learn what is not easy is just to sit down and say, Lord, that's it. It don't matter no more. We're going to deal with this thing. I'm going to get it straightened out. We're going to get this thing working again. I'm going to get my flesh under. I'm going to follow the Word of God and not my ideas and my plans and what I'd like to do. It's not about what I can get away with. And see, one thing, you're going to find this out. You're going to see with this principle I just said more and more concerning this last day and bringing the church in line. Those who will not allow God to root up, tear down, enter into the glory God wants to do. They're not going to do that. You can sit in a church that has it going on and you'll be a spectator. Won't be a participant. I've already decided I'm getting on the field. And if it takes a whole lot of training and sweating on Ed's part, whatever he got to do, he's got. You know, there's things that I'm going to have to do more than you. I'm held at a higher responsibility for my office. And I know that. But I'm going to tell you what, that don't let you go. know, there's one thing as the Lord, you know, dealt with me in this. Now, this isn't in my notes, but this is good anyhow. Learn. Do you know, I speak, the Lord's talked to me about it. See, I speak from a place now, from what I see. You can hear me of what I'm saying about what I see, but that don't mean you see what I see. You're going to have to come into line with God so you can see what I'm seeing. See, that was the prophets of old. Jeremiah spoke from where he was seeing. And the people heard it, but they couldn't see what he saw. Getting in line to see what he saw, they ignored what he said. If I was out here, Kenneth Hagin used the example. He said, if you went to somebody who never saw a tree, and you tried to explain to them what a tree looked like, and your explanation to them, every time you hear words, you get thoughts in your mind of what it is. Well, if they never saw one and you're explaining, when they saw a tree, would it really be what you were trying to explain? See, this is why you got to come to the place that you can see. You got to arrive at the place that you can see what is said. It's not enough for me to preach about healing. You need to be able to see it. If you want to attain it, you got to be able to see it. You got to be able to see it the way that it is. Anything in the Word of God's like that. It's where, because, see, people think they get in their mind, it's this way or that way. I know things Kenneth Hagin taught over the years, and I thought were certain ways because of what was said. But when I finally grew up into some things, I thought, my God, that's not like it. It's not like I thought it was. That's not what it was. Now I can see it. He's exactly right about what he said. But that wasn't my imagination. See, I had my view of how it ought to be. I had my view. And then all of a sudden, I got the view that God gave him, and it's like, oh, it's different than I thought. It's like that all the time. It's like that in the natural. But it's like that in the realm of the spirit. So you have to come to a place, you have to grow, or words can be spoken and they sound wonderful and glorious to you, but that don't mean you'll ever walk in them. Revelation is when you can see. Revelation is, oh my God, I see it. I got it now. Woo-hoo-hoo! I know. I got it. It's mine now. Hallelujah. And you don't get that casually following God. That never happens. That don't happen just going to church and, you know, don't happen that way. Seek and you'll find. Do you know what the word seek there means? It means looking for something as if it's lost. It don't mean, I read the scriptures every once in a while. I read the Bible some and I do this. That's not seeking. It's something lost that you want to find. My God. There's stuff I got to find. I don't know about you. I got to find. There's stuff I see in the Word. And I tell you, to me, it's lost. I need to get it. I need to find. I need to hook up on that thing. See, I want the revelation of it. I want that life to come to me. Hallelujah. That's in the Word of God. I want it to light me up on the inside. Hallelujah. Praise God. Jesus Christ. We want to get the revelation. He was raised from the dead. He was raised from the dead. We need to understand the fact that even though he died for our sin, if he wasn't raised from the dead, his death was in vain to us. It means nothing. How important is the resurrection? Like I said, the same spirit that raised Jesus from the dead lives inside of me. What's he going to reveal to you? Death? Sin? Resurrection. 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 He doesn't quicken your body by the cross. He doesn't quicken your mortal body. He does it by resurrection. Hallelujah. There's resurrection in you. Have you come into contact? Have you seen it? Woo! It's glorious. Hallelujah. It's glorious. Hallelujah. Raised together with him. Seated together with him. Hallelujah. Raised with Christ. Glory to God. Romans 4:25 says this. It says, who was delivered up because of our offenses and was raised because of our justification. Now listen to this. I want to read it to you in the 20th century New Testament because it just says it. It says it better because it adds, it don't just try to do word for translation. What I think that like here, the New King James or the King James is lost. Listen what the 20th century says, and I love this. You know, I was reading this morning and I could just stop there and had a camp meeting at it. He said, for Jesus was given up to death to atone for our offenses and was raised to life that we might be pronounced righteous. See, that word justification can actually be translated righteous. You, through the resurrection of Jesus Christ, have been pronounced righteous. You're righteous. See, the church struggles at living a righteous life. You'll never live a righteous life till you believe you are. It is the easiest thing to live what you are. It is the hardest thing to live what you don't believe you are. You want to live a righteous life? You start believing in righteousness. Not you're trying to get it. I got it. Hallelujah. When I accepted Jesus, just think of any sinner. No matter how vile their life, no matter what it might have been, they receive Christ and get born again and God says they're righteous. Why? Because the old nature is gone and they have a new nature. It's gone. Most of Christianity, all they believe is they got a cleaned up heart. Jesus forgave them their sin and you're still an old scumbag. You're still the old same old scumbag. You're just trying to live right. I'm not trying to live right. I have been anointed to live right. I've been set apart by God to live right. There's grace, the glory of God that works in me. Hallelujah. Not on the basis of my performance, but on the basis of His glory. Hallelujah. And it causes me to live righteous. Grace will never lead you to a life of sin. Grace always leads you to walk in the righteousness that you are and in the glory that God's made you. That's what it does. That's what it is. Hallelujah. We could just hold a camp meeting there. Glory to God. Oh, man. Whew. Glory to God. Hallelujah. I want to go over. We're going to read into Hebrews here because I want you to see some things concerning righteousness. We want to talk about Hebrews, the first chapter. We're going to read down through these things. They're just wonderful things. You need to see yourself in the light of what God has done in Christ Jesus for you. And we're going to start in Hebrews, the first chapter. We're going to start at verse 1. It says, God, who at various times in various ways spoke in times past to the fathers by the prophets, has in these last days spoken to us by His Son, whom He has appointed heir of all things, through whom also He made the worlds. Now, you know, it's interesting because He says here, He tells us, you know, God spoke in the past through the prophets, but now He said He spoke directly to us through His Son, who has been appointed. And you need to, He has been, Jesus Christ and His resurrection, has been appointed heir of all things. You think about this. Jesus said, the Father doesn't even answer prayer except through faith in His name. You ask in His name. The Father responds. See, Jesus has been given all authority in heaven and the earth. Can you imagine that Father God, He turned it all over to Jesus? Do you realize in the dealing in the earth and man today, it's in Jesus' hands, it's not in the Father's? Do you think the Father respects Jesus a bit? Think Jesus is held at a place of high esteem? Wow, we only get Christians to start acting like it. Man, it'd be something. We'd just, woo, glory to God. We wouldn't have seeker friendly today if we thought Jesus was really something. We wouldn't be cowering to what the world wants, trying to have a church. Hallelujah. If you want to do any cowering, it's going to be to Jesus. My God, it's going to be, whatever you want, Lord, if I'm out of line, let me know. What do you want? Jesus has planned in these last days, and it will be, a victorious church. There's a people standing up that are going to be separated in the body of Christ. And everybody's going to know and knew who the glorious church and who the fake church is. And they're going to see it in the last days. And they're going to see it by the glory and the power of God. Because it will not be demonstrated through the dead church. It won't be the ones that are hooked to the sinner. It'll be the ones that are bringing the sinners into Christ. Hallelujah. The glory of God, the purpose of the glory is to change people's lives. It's not so they can stay the same. The glory in the church. I want this a place where we get together. When we come together, this building isn't the church, we are. The glory is about the people in it. The glory is not about the building, it's the people in it. If there's no glory in the people, there's no glory in the building. Hallelujah. And we preach glory in the people. We're full of glory. It's time to rise up to it. It's time to step into resurrection. Hallelujah. That's what the Spirit of the Lord said. It's time to step into it. Time to walk into it. Don't hold back. Glory to God. The resurrection, power of God. Hallelujah. Jesus Christ is the heir of everything. That's good news. Look what it says. Now, who is this Jesus Christ who being the brightness of His glory and the express image of His, this is Father God, person, and upholding all things by the word of His power. This is who Jesus is. Jesus looks like God. He's like God. He has the authority like God. That's who Jesus is. And He's the head of the church. He's the head of the church. He's the head of the church, and we're His body. Oh, there's Jesus, but you know, we're just so unworthy. We're just so, Jesus, if you could just help me a little bit, if you could just maybe if I whine a little more in my voice, it'll attract you better. And maybe if I act like I'm a little more of a nothing, it might really impress you while I live in my pride. Woo! Hallelujah. Well, praise God. You might as well smile. Hallelujah. It's true. Glory to God. But Jesus is the brightness of His glory, the expressed image of the Father God, upholding all things by the word of His power. That's why, boy, these days and times, the word and the spirit, you got to hook up. These are the days to stay close in the word. To follow, because I tell you what, loads of what's preached out here and going on in a lot of places, it ain't the word. But boy, people are buying it like it is. The devil misused scripture to tempt Jesus. And if you don't know your Bible, the devil will own you. And you'll think for sure, you know, I know things. Oh, I'm so smart. Hallelujah. Well, we don't want to end up in that place. Listen to what he says. He went on to say here concerning Him, when He had Himself purged our sins, sat down at the right hand of the Majesty on high. When Jesus purged our sins, what did He sat down at the right hand of the Majesty on high. What did He do in the purging of His sins? Hebrews tell us in 9:12, He said, not with blood of bulls and goats and calves, but His own blood, He entered the most holy place once and for all, having obtained an eternal salvation. Jesus took His blood in, and really, when that thing took place, when Jesus, that took place, that made an eternal redemption or a payment. In other words, you were redeemed. I don't like the fact that lots of times they take the word redeemed and they make it cleansed. Because it really doesn't add to what redemption is. Redeem means this, you were paid for. Cleansing means, could be you got washed up and you're still in the same condition. You were redeemed. You were bought and paid for. Your sin was bought and paid for. Satan can no longer hold that over you. The Bible tells us the cross, that was the place of sin and shame. That's the place where it says the writing that was against you was nailed there. What was that? That was the law of sin that the devil had over people. As long as you live under the law of sin, the devil's going to always make you feel guilty if you do something wrong. And you'll buy it and live under it. The devil can't bring the law on me. That's why the Lord spoke to me one time. He said the reason the devil couldn't hold you when you had your heart attack, because He said you didn't buy into it. When I stood up and I said, devil, you have nothing in to say of this. This is between me and my dad. See, most people, the devil said you're going to die. He had nothing to say about it because the law of sin and death was nailed to the cross. And I got life. That's what I'm going to tell you, folks, I got a life sentence. Woo, glory to God, I got a life sentence. Hallelujah. Whew, boy, that just grows up in me, Lord of God. Hallelujah, made me happy. Whew. But see, that glory of God. See, the devil tried to bring accusation against me. But inside, I had put the word. And when the word rises up, He has no right. It's not between me and Him. Most Christians, a majority of Christians, it's between the devil and them. They're all trying to fight the devil. I ain't trying to fight the devil. He lost. He's a loser. You treat him like a loser. You don't treat him like he can do something. Oh, you never know what the devil can do. Yeah, to you, anything. Hallelujah. Talking like that. You don't know what the devil can do? I know exactly what he can do. Back off, buddy, in the name of Jesus. We ain't playing this game. You're not dominating my life. We ain't going to, oh, you know, you're just going to sin. Anybody that ever says that, what they're telling you is the devil rules and reigns. He's going to make you sin, and that's just the way it is. And I'll tell you what, I find any person ever believes like that, they yield to it. And you can count on it. They'll sin. They planned on it. They planned on the dominion of the devil being greater over them. Hallelujah. Now, I've read the Word, and the Word says this, sin shall not lord over you. It don't have dominion over you. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Why? Because we're not under the law, we're under grace. This is one, if you're just going to sin, you're under law. And I'm going to tell you what, you ain't going to be living under law and end up in heaven. Been redeemed from the curse of the law. You've been redeemed. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Let's go live redeemed, folks. Praise God. Jesus entered in the holies of holies. And where is Jesus seated right now? He's sitting at the right hand of the Father. We don't know a lot about this stuff because we have democracy and things like that. And we read the Bible according to the American culture, which is stench. And we act like the Bible is somehow along that line. When he said he sat down at the right hand of a king, his right hand is always the hand of authority. When Jesus was seated at the right hand, that means he sat down at the position of authority of God's throne. And we know he did because the Bible says he has authority over all things in heaven, earth, and under the earth. The right hand was always. The right hand was the hand of the scepter. It was never held. Kings didn't hold it in the left hand. It was never the right. You can read down through history. History was always the right hand. And that's why writing these things, Paul and them, they wrote these things and they wrote them down according. They knew what happened with the Roman Empire and all these things. This is the way laws and rules. When anybody, if they went before Pilate, Pilate had a scepter that he came out when he judged, that scepter he had. When Pilate came out, that scepter that he would have was the authority given to him from Rome to rule in doing what he was doing. And when they would do, when a king would ever rule, he always has the scepter. Always has the scepter. Because that's the authority emblem of what he has. And whoever holds the authority of the scepter holds the authority. And so we need to understand the importance. Jesus sat down at the right hand of God. We're going somewhere with this. Hallelujah. We're going somewhere. Hallelujah. And it's a glory to God. Back to Hebrews 1 again in verse 4. Now listen to this. Having become so much better than the angels, as he, by inheritance, obtained a more excellent name than they. And we need to understand this. The name. The name. See, to us, the name, it doesn't mean it. See, when people name people today, they try to find out what is the most flowery type of thing to say or something else. Or I'm looking for something unusual. You need to understand this about yourself. One of the things, I was so glad my parents named me Edward. Because when you speak and you speak my name is royalty. That's what Edward means. It means ruling, ruling class. See, today, people give their kids weird little names that don't mean a thing. And they're called by that. It's interesting, in the Bible, you find this out. If you study Scripture, people turned out like their name. Do you hear me? See, we're so frivolous today in our society. We don't know. Do you know, other than we call the cultures, of what we call democracy cultures, or whether it is in Europe and all that stuff, but you take a lot of the areas, other areas of the world, they name by a significance concerning what a person's name is about their destiny. America, we have our nice little frivolous society that does our nice little frivolous stuff to do. We don't understand the meaning. What somebody's calling you at the time. See, you know, so many kids, they have names that basically what you're saying, jerk, you know, you're an idiot. You're not going to amount to. Their names are meaningless and don't produce. Yet they're called a certain thing all the time. The Bible tells us constantly about what we say, how important it is. Faith is about what you say. The Lord spoke to me when I first got born again about my name. And he told me this. That's where you're such a protector concerning the Word of God. Because that's what the name is. It's a protector. What I'm telling you, get out of line of the Word. I'll be on you. Protect them. People rise up and preach other than what the Word says. I'm going to be on it. We're going to talk about it. You see, we need to understand these things. That's why in the church world, when people got born again, they would rename them. Look in the book of Acts. People had names. Jesus changed names to disciples. Peter became what Jesus called him. Woo! Now, we don't have to go through the things that change, but I'm going to tell you what. If your voice don't get straight, if your voice don't, you be calling, a lot of people are their own biggest curse. They're their own biggest curse. It's their mouth. They won't stop cursing themselves with their mouth, talking about their shortcomings. See, I've taught this about faith. You get something, a seed of something in your spirit will try everything it can to bring it to pass. See, I'm a king and a priest. That's what I am. I'm not trying to become one. I am. Jesus made me that. I'm ruling class. You are too. How do you talk about yourself? Do you look at what goes on in Washington like they're a big deal? I'm going to tell you what. I sit in a higher place authority than 99% of those people do. Most of the Christians down there don't even sit in a place that I do. They don't even know about it. See, you sit in your place of authority. God wants you to do that. See, God wants you to see it. Why? Because in this earth, there's nothing going to change till somebody with authority rules. Jesus Christ is waiting for this. God's waiting for a church to rise up to rule. He's waiting for a people to rise up in their place of authority, their place of governmental rule in the kingdom, to rise in that place and say, "Devil, this is it. You ain't the King of Kings." In this earth, I want you to show you this. We'll go on to this. I could go on to a number of things, but I want you to see this. He got a more excellent name. See, that name means something. That name in heaven, everything that God has done is invested in that name. Now look, it says, "For to which of the angels did he ever say, 'You are my son, today I have begotten you'? And again, I will be to him a father and he shall be to me a son.'" Now, he's not talking about their Jesus being born into the earth. He's talking about Jesus being raised from the dead. That's when he was begotten by God. He wasn't begotten by God. He already existed when he came into the earth. He had pre-existed before. He wasn't born like we talk about. Jesus didn't come into existence when he came out of the womb. He was always in existence. But Jesus, that same Jesus that was always in existence, died spiritually by taking our sins, and he was born again. The Bible says he was the firstborn from the dead. And it wasn't talking about physical death, because we other people in the Bible got raised from the dead physically. He was the first spiritually. That's why you could be born again. If he wasn't raised spiritually from death to life, you couldn't be. The resurrection was not about his body coming out of the tomb. It was about his spirit. That's why the church worships the physical most. The baby and the... Oh, that's the biggie. The physical body coming out of that tomb. No, it was what was in that body that came out of the tomb that made that body something that came out of the tomb. If that spirit had not been reborn by the glory of God, he would have never gotten a glorified body. What came out of there was a glorified body, not a physical body. There's no death in that body. And that's our promise of the future. The Holy Spirit is in you for that guarantee you were going to get one. I'll say this to you. If you have doubts about, well, am I really going to get a new body? This is what you don't know, the Holy Ghost in you. He's the guarantee in you. So you know that the resurrection's true. Do you know that you're going to get one? Hallelujah. He's the guarantee. Glory to God. Hallelujah. I have the guarantee. He lives inside of me. It's God, the Holy Ghost. Praise God. Hallelujah. Firstborn. And it goes on to say, he says, "Let all the angels of God worship him." And the angels, he says, who makes his spirits, his angels' spirits and his ministers a flame of fire. Now I want you to listen to this. But to the Son, he says this, look, "Your throne, O God, is forever and ever." Now listen, "and a scepter of righteousness is the scepter of the kingdom. You have loved righteousness and have hated lawlessness. Therefore, God, your God, has anointed you with the oil of gladness more than your companions. What does it say? The scepter, what is the scepter of the kingdom? Righteousness. What did righteousness come from? Resurrection. Righteousness and resurrection are tied together. In other words, we'd say the symbol. So the symbol of righteousness. Righteousness is this. It's acting in accord with divine or moral law, free from guilt or sin. It's morally right or justifiable. And see, a scepter is just this. They said it was either a staff or a baton, but it was held by a sovereign as an emblem of authority or royal or imperial authority. It deals with sovereignty. And sovereignty is simply this, and it's important. It's supreme power, especially over a body politic, but it says freedom from external control. And it's not being under any kind of controlling influence. The scepter of the kingdom is a scepter of righteousness. It is about authority and rule. That's what it's about. You see, you need to understand this. And I wrote this down. The Spirit gave me this. Righteousness represents all the authority, power, glory, and influence of the kingdom of God. And it's all invested in Christ Jesus. And all of it is represented in His name. And He gave His body, the church, the authorization to use His name in prayer, doing His works, and in all that we do, we can do it in His name. That's what He gave us. That's what was handed to us. The scepter is righteousness. Righteousness changed everything. Righteousness is your ability to approach God. If you're not righteous, you can't. We are born righteous. It's just like in Israel. No alien could ever enter the temple and go in to where they worshiped and they made sacrifice. You had to be born a Jew to be able to go into that place. No one's allowed to. If you were a Gentile could go into the outer court of the temple, but he could never go into the place of worship. He could never go. That's where the presence of God was. He was never allowed there. Why? He wasn't born. It hasn't changed. God will not let those who are not born into the family, into His presence. You have to be born into it. And there's only one type of birth, righteousness. Righteousness gives you the right. You're born in righteousness. And because of righteousness, you can come before the throne of God. And you see why in Hebrews says, come boldly to the throne of grace. Just think about it. You miss it. You miss it. But see, you're born into it. It's just like in Israel. If they missed it, they could go into that place where they sacrificed and they could just take an offering in for their sin and they could go do that and they could enter the place. They were allowed to. Well, see, that's with us. We don't have to drag a lamb in. We don't have to. The sin, but if we miss it, we can come boldly to the throne of grace. We go right into the presence of God. We go right. Why? Because of birth. It's birth. Those who are not born of God will never stand before the presence of God. I don't care religiously what they tell me they believe. It don't matter. You must be born again. Jesus said you must. God is looking for those who worship Him in spirit and in truth. You can only do that being born again. You can't have it any other way. No one can worship God in spirit, not born of His Spirit. We approach God, the born again crowd. That's who we are. Hallelujah. See what righteousness, the scripture says in Romans, the third chapter, verse 21, says this, but now the righteousness of God apart from the law is revealed, being witnessed by the law and the prophets, even the righteousness of God through faith in Jesus Christ to all and on all who believe, for there's no difference. It's to us and it's on us. Hallelujah. It's to us and on us. Righteousness is given. Hallelujah. And it's given through the birth. And that new birth through Jesus Christ. 2 Corinthians 5:21. For He made Him who knew no sin to be sin for us, that we might become the righteousness of God in Him. Righteousness. And because of that, the church is the righteousness of God. Listen to this. We are the scepter of all the authority, power, power, glory, and influence of the kingdom of God in the earth, because we have been given God's righteousness and the name of Jesus. The church is the scepter. In the earth, we have been handed the scepter here. This is the place where we rule. Jesus takes care of the heaven, and hell's already been defeated. But right here in this place is where we rule, and man has been seated together in Christ Jesus. Man has been seated. If we do not have the scepter here, we don't have a place to rule. But when Jesus left, he said, I'm giving you my name. Because everything that that scepter represents is in that name. And that name heaven responds to, and hell cringes. That's the name above every name. Oh my God, when Jesus came out, the glory that came out, that wonderful Easter morning, that wonderful morning in the resurrection, if the church would only know what came. Oh, isn't it nice? You know, yeah, isn't it? He forgave us our sins. And then they go get and live the rest of their life with the devil ruling and reigning. We have the scepter. Every believer, down to the least believer, down to the least, Adijah has the scepter. We're the scepter. The church has been given the name. The church hasn't been given name to preachers. It hasn't been given to some big evangelist. It's been given to every believer. Every believer is a king and a priest. There's not some, a few here and there. Anybody that wants to be a king and a priest, they can if they all just step into it. And see, this is about walking into it. See, we need to, let me read something to you here. Hallelujah. I'm going to go back over to the book of Ephesians. Here. Hallelujah. I don't know about it. I tell you, the glory's on me. Glory to God. I'm going to preach me happy this morning. I'm about to get a busload and leave today, I think. Hallelujah. Woo! My God. I'm going to start verse 17, the first chapter. Now, this is a prayer, you know, and I pray this many times for you. I want you to understand why I pray this prayer for you. Because if you don't get this, You ain't going to go to where you need to go. We need to understand. Listen, he said, listen, verse 17, Paul prays that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give to you a spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him. The eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of his calling, and what is the riches of the glory of his inheritance, his saints. Do you know what the hope of his calling is? Do you know what it is? If you don't know, you ain't got the revelation of this prayer yet. You need to pray and get before God, get him give a revelation about this prayer. Because this prayer tells us what it is, what the wisdom is that we got to get. This is the hope of his glory. I'm going to tell, whoo, my God. Hallelujah. And his inheritance in the saints. It's what he put into us. Not what he gets out of us, it's what he put into us. My God, if he don't put something into it, he probably never get nothing out. Hallelujah. Thank God he put something in so he can get something out. And he says, and what is the exceeding greatness, now listen, of his power toward us who believe according to the working of his mighty power. That mighty power is dunamis power. That's the power here we get the word dynamite from. It's explosive power of God toward us. My God, see, we can go blow up somewhere. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Whew. Which he worked in Christ. What? What did he work in Christ? When he raised him from the dead and seated him his own right hand in heavenly places. It wasn't just that he raised him, it's where he set him. Woo! Glory to God. Now this, far above all principality and power, power and might and dominion, every name that's named, not only in this age, but also in that which is to come. And he's put all things under his feet and gave him to be what? Head over all things to the church, which is his body, the fullness of him that filleth all in all. The wisdom, God wants you to have the spirit of wisdom. He wants you to know where you're seated. He wants you to know that Jesus Christ defeated Satan, that you are far above all principality. The head can't be above it and the body not. Your head don't walk in some authority. You know, my head's the president of the United States, but my body, he's a janitor over here at the school, you know. That's the church. That's the church today. That's what we call the spirit-filled church. I wonder what spirit they're filled with. I don't know. But the spirit-filled church is to be full of the glory of God. You need to get the revelation of where you're seated Hallelujah. Far above all principality and power. Far above it. It don't say, oh, you're just a little bit over the devil. You're far above principality and power. See, this is why people stay in bondage and never get free of things. This is why habits never get broken. Because Christians are always taught to say, well, you know, you got this, you're just a person and you just have... No, you're not. Hallelujah. When I got born again, I wasn't a drunkard no more. I didn't make confession. Well, you know, I'm an alcoholic, and no, the alcoholic died. That drunken spiritual bum's dead. And now there's glory in me. What we do is we fill the poor people, they're bound to stuff, and we fill them with more bondage. You know, you're free. Whom the Son has set free is free. Yeah, but you definitely need to program it for about the next 5 years. Maybe you'll get there. Maybe you might. I'm going to tell you, start getting the word in. Who they are in Christ Jesus. Start telling them the glory that's in them. Hallelujah. God don't get born again flakes. See, first of all, you got to get them born again. Don't bring them into a religious bunch of junk. If they don't get born again, you ain't going to change it. The devil's going to hold them bound. You want to get them free? You start telling them who they are and what they are. You're not. It don't matter what you did. Don't matter if you took drugs and burned your brain. What I must have. I don't know how many brain cells I killed, but I sure worked at it. I'll tell you that. They talk about doing drugs and drinking kills brain cells. I probably killed some of yours. Hallelujah! But I'll tell you what. God changed my life. When I got born again, I wasn't that guy no more. Hallelujah! I got the mind of Christ. Glory to God. Hallelujah. No. Thank God I didn't have a preacher tell me that, oh, well, you're just going to have to. My poor father, he finally got a hold of it some before he died, but he had the idea of how he abused his body. He was an alcoholic and stuff, and how he abused his body. And he said one day to me about that, about, in situations in life because of the abuse of his body. I said, Dad, you don't have to live with that. Well, see, he wasn't told in his church he didn't have to. He was told in his church, you just did this and did that. I said, Dad, you don't have to live with that. I said, what you did in sin has been, God has removed that. The man that did that died. And you have the same spirit that raised Jesus from the dead to quicken your immortal body. And hallelujah, you need to rise up and get a quickened body. See, there needs to be a revelation, that spirit of wisdom and revelation, where we sit. Whatever we bind on earth is bound in heaven. Whatever we loose on earth is loosed in heaven. The church binds people in bondage. They bind them in bondage. Holding them where all their weaknesses are. The Bible says, let the weak say I'm strong. The church teaches, let the weak say I'm weak. Let the poor say I'm poor and I'm going to stay poor. And you're going to have to feed me all the time. That's where it stays. We don't preach the truth. You start getting in people. You want to bring somebody out of poverty? It's by teaching. It ain't by money. You don't bring people out of poverty. If you give a person poverty money and tomorrow they won't have no money again. Because they'll go spend it on all the junk that lost that got them in all the mess to begin with. I ain't against helping people, but number one, you ain't getting a word in to tell them the truth. You ain't helping them. See, Jesus preached the gospel of the poor. It's not, I feel so bad for you, you poor old thing. Is that what he's doing? Did the gospel leave the poor in the same condition it found them? Well, the gospel of the poor does today in America. My God, it'll make you worse off. It'll make you want to work less. It'll make you want to do less. It'll make you more poor than what you were. That's the gospel. It don't deliver people. It don't set people free. Thank God I had somebody preach the gospel to me. It changed my life. I became a different person. I became such a different person that my wife said to me one night, I'm married to a different man. She was a sinner. She wasn't born again. She said, I'm married to a different man. Hallelujah. How many people I've met along told me they were Christians I'd have never known. There was no difference. They were just like the world. I'm convinced that many don't get born again because we don't preach the truth to them. We don't tell them what they need to know to be saved. We don't preach. They don't have faith to be saved. They have faith to come into a nice religious system. And they never pass from death unto life. And they don't hear enough to know there's a God wants to bring glory into your life. Hallelujah. And oh, there's a glory. I don't know if you know it or not, but I've stepped into some glory. If you can't see it, you need another dip. Something wrong with you. But I'll tell you what, I am fed up. I'm before God and I am fed up with the way things are going in the church world and how little the church world's doing to change things. God, we need an outpouring spirit to wake up the church. Do you know, number one, that's God's agenda right now? We're trying to fix the world and the church is in a mire up to its neck. The church is. Christians are in a mire up to their neck. And Tony, the church needs to be a reviving in the church. Why? Because the church is the vessel that God brings His glory. That's who it is. If the church stays in the mire, there's no glory. There won't be outpouring of the Holy Ghost. Someone has to crawl out of the proverbial ooze that where so-called life came from and stand up and say, glory to God, I'm a created being by God. Hallelujah. I believe in Jesus Christ. He's my Lord. I'm born of God. The Holy Ghost lives in me. I'm not praying for power. I got all the power I need. Hallelujah. I'm better than the Energizer Bunny, folks. You're better. But most Christians live like their battery's dead. Hallelujah. My God, might get charged up. I've been so charged up this week. I've had to stop a few times and preach messages because I just had to get it out of me. It was like, wow, there's things in there that are so good. I need to get them on my voice. I got to say them. It's so good. The glory is so good. My God. Hallelujah. I'm trying to light you on fire, folks. Next week, it's a can of gas. Hallelujah. Woo! Glory to God. Hallelujah. I'll tell you, I'm just so excited about Jesus. I'm so excited about what He's done in the church. I am so excited about the glory that's been put in the church. Hallelujah. If we want to see more glory, we got to begin to act on the glory we see. Most people want to see more and are not acting what they see. What you see, start walking in that glory. What your revelation is, walk in that glory. See, the Lord had me, you know, do this. Go over with which we talked about before in John the 14th chapter, verses 12, 13, and 14, where Jesus said, "The works that I do, you shall do also. Greater works than these you'll do because I'm." I go to my Father, and He said, He talked about whatever we ask in His name. He said He does it. So the Father's glorified. And if you ask anything in my name, I'll do it. And the Lord spoke to me about, you need to put that in first person. You don't see, and you need to start saying, you do the works of Jesus. And I started, I do the works of Jesus. I do His works. And greater works, I do them because He went to the Father. I do them. You see, it was given to us to do. To run and say, well, I want to do the works of Jesus. There ain't no faith in that, I want to do it. He already pronounced, you will do them. But see, we want to wait till we do something, then we're going to start to say something. And I'll tell you what happens. You'll never do anything. And I said, Jesus said this. Jesus said, if I do I do His works, so the Father's glorified. See, we do the works of Jesus, so the Father's glorified. And He said, so anything that I ask in His name, Jesus said He does it. So I confess, I just say, anything I ask in Jesus' name, He does it. Now I'm talking about His works. Anything I ask in Jesus' name, He does it. So you need to get it in you to the place. And see, the Lord spoke to me about this. And He said, you need to get over and say this till this becomes totally real in you, that you cannot see yourself not walking in the works. See, some people, we don't need more power. We need revelation. Those scriptures have been read to Spirit-filled Christians millions and millions and millions of times. You know what? Have people done more works? Nah. Why? They're just words on a page. They sound nice. Well, we're waiting until it happens till we do the works. That's like waiting for salvation. You'll end up in hell. I don't wait for salvation. I claim it. It's mine. I do the works of Jesus. I cast out devils. Do you know that? I cast out devils. Hallelujah. Jesus said in His name, I cast out devils. I ain't gonna say anything different about it. Well, I never cast out a devil. Well, you never will, talking like that. They'll always own you. Because you'll be, oh my God, He might get me. I cast out devils. I ain't scared of sickness and disease. I ain't afraid to touch somebody that's sick. My God, bring a leper on. I don't care. Dear Lord, we're not cowering down. We heal the sick. We don't get the sick. People are trying to get healed. I want you to know this. If you're afraid of sickness, you ain't getting healed. Forget it. Sickness owns you. You need to get out from under that thumb of the devil over you and your thinking. To think like that is to think sin still dominates. The old nature still runs the show. The old nature still does it. No, it don't. Jesus Christ sets you free. Jesus Christ. Get it on your voice. Start saying the right things. Start speaking about what you have instead of what you want to get. My God, the Bible's filled with what we got. Hallelujah. I'm not trying to get seated in heavenly places. I'm there. Glory to God. I'm in the place of authority. My God, I'll tell you what, Jesus got a scepter in his hands and his name's Ed. His name's Edward. I'll tell you, he's royalty. He's got one in his hand and he uses him. See, well, I'd sure like God to use me. Well, he won't. Till you start believing what you got in you and what you are. Start to become something. Start hearing you are something. Start saying you are what the Bible says you are. You know, well, I'm just trying to believe for healing. Well, forget it. Stay sick. The Bible says you are healed. Start declaring. Start declaring. Praise God, I'm healed. I know your body will say to you, you knucklehead, I'm still feeling bad. Go ahead. You have a choice. Either the Bible's true or you're a knucklehead. But I'm going to tell you, you believe you're a knucklehead and you'll be a knucklehead for the rest of your life. You'll never come out to that place of glory and step out and say, my God, my body has to obey me. If you can't control your whole tongue, and then James said it, you can't control your whole body. He said, if you can control your tongue, you can control your whole body. People who live in the flesh is because they don't control their tongue. If you have flesh problems, and that's why you get people who are in bondage, you get them to start saying the right thing. You can never bondage through psychology and all that junk. You start to get them to speak what is right, and they will turn around and they get that inside of me, in their hearts, and you know what happens? It grows up inside of them. It grows up in them, and they become on the inside, gets to the outside, exactly what was in them. That seed grows up. And God's seed always produces this, everlasting life. God's seed don't produce anything. God's seed always produces after its kind. It cannot produce anything but life. And it can only produce God life. It can't produce something else. It's an impossibility. Most of the church world today operates under psychology and calls it the Word of God. They've taken the Word and turned it into psychology. People are trying to become what they are. Isn't that crazy? They're trying to become what they are. No, it's what I am. And I am what I am. And I is what I is. What he said is true. It's true. We're not going to talk about it anyway. See, it doesn't make any sense to say the poor man say that I'm rich when it still looks like he's poor is crazy, does it? Doesn't make any sense. God's word is not for your head. If you can't get it in your heart, forget your head. Your heart will change your head if you just keep pumping the right thing in your heart and getting the heart. I learned Kenneth Hagin used to say this to us all the time. He said, I'm not ministering to your head. He said, I speak words of spirit and life. They're for your inner man. That's what I'm talking. I'm talking to words that are for your inner man, not for your head. Your head goes tilt. You walk out of church and you try to reason out what your inner man's trying to say. Why don't you receive it, stupid? And you're there trying to figure it out. I have never ever had to try to figure out a revelation. Never once. Never one time when the revelation came and I just knew it on the inside of me was right and my head saying, boy, that sounds crazy. I don't know if you want to do that one. But inside, the revelation came and I knew it was the right thing. I knew what I needed to do. Hallelujah. Glory to God. And that's where you got to come to. Believing's not a hard thing. It's a choice. You just determine God's true or your thinking's true. You determine that. God don't. If it's hard for you to believe, it's because you've been a hardhead. You keep measuring God's word against something else. You don't measure God's word against something else. You measure God's word against God's word. You learn to do that. I've learned that as a young Christian. I'd sit down and say, I first got born again. Well, that's the Bible says that's true. Man, don't look like none of that's ever happened to me. That's true. And I would just say, that's true. That has to be true. Lots of it I didn't even have much revelation on. But I said, it is true. It has to be. It's there. It's true. People say, do you believe that? Well, sure, I believe it. I can believe something I don't have much revelation on. I want to tell you what, I started walking in health before I had much revelation on health, because the little glimpses of light I got, I took it and started walking in it. I believed it was true. And the miraculous started in our home. It wasn't because Ed was brilliant on the subject. It was because the light that I have, I believe is true. And I had all kind of Christians come and try to talk me out of what was working. Well, you can't always have it this way. You can't. And I learned, no, the Bible's true. They're a liar. You don't tell them a liar to their face. They go ballistic and crazy. That's what religious people do. They're out of their minds. They can't help it. The devil owns them. And so they just go crazy. But I just say, no. You know how many times Wanda and I, we'd gone along with a group of people one time and the things, and they started heading in the direction. Wasn't right. Boy, I'll tell you, they got ugly because we wouldn't follow along. No, no, no. I know what the Word says. I'm going to tell you what. I'm the bull in the china closet, guys. You don't mess with me when it comes down to the Word. If I know it's true, don't try to drag me off into something. We need some major rooting out in the body of Christ. And a lot of big name ministers need a lot of rooting out. And there's stuff that has worked for them, but it ain't godly. And they think because it's been working, they've been using psychology on people to do things. And it's number one, a minister is to do this, to raise the people up where he is. Not in psychology, manipulating other people in the same manner. You don't want that. It's not about drawing people to yourself. It's Jesus Christ. He's the guy on the throne. I'm not on the throne. I'm not the guy that you got there to the place. I'm not the guy with all authority, power, and him. I'm just a guy who got the scepter just like you. There's things I may know about the scepter, maybe you don't know, but I'm to lead you to the place so you can walk in that glory, so you come to that place, so you come and live in that place, so you live a life of resurrection. We take these elements today, it's about resurrection. These elements remind us of who we are in. Who are we on the throne? It's because of His body and His blood. We're seated in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. We take them, we eat the bread, we drink the blood. We're identified as one with the guy on the throne. Are you at one with Him? Hallelujah. Are you the same? See, we're identified the same body. The head's on. It's the same body. Head and the rest of the body. Anybody here, you can separate your head from your body? Man, I got to see this. Woo! You can't. You can't do it. And we're identified. You're one with God. You're one with this Jesus, that all the authority of heaven and earth has been given to this one. I mean, get a hold. All the authority in heaven and earth has been given to this one. And down here in the earth, He says, you guys go get them. I'm giving you my name. And my name is all the authority. It's all the power. It's all the glory. It's all the influence of the throne of God. And I'm handing it to you. Oh, dear God. Oh, we just need power. Oh, God, would you? Oh, if you could just do something. We don't pray. We don't come boldly to the throne of grace. Do you go to the throne when you pray? Or do you pray and try to cower around the throne? When I pray, I'm at the throne. Man, that's the place where I belong. That's the place of my authority. God responds to the saints at the throne. That's where He responds. I have authority to be in His presence. I've been given it to Him by Him. If He didn't want me there, He should have said so. But He didn't. He says, come. You come to that place when you pray and say, Lord, this is where I ask from. I don't ask from way down there and I got to, a string and a can on either end. And it mostly works that I have to scream really loud, maybe to get Him to hear. But He sleeps a lot because I know He doesn't hear much. Because lots of times I never get prayers answered because this thing ain't working. No, we do it from the throne. It's of authority. Kings never made rulings except to sit on the throne with the scepter. You don't bind the devil wimping around down here. You sit on the throne with the scepter. Say, devil, in the name of Jesus, you must respond to that name. You will bow. You don't have, this isn't about choice. You went before the king and you got out of line, they'd have hauled your dead body out of the throne room. The devil knows to run when somebody operates out of the throne room. We take our position. I have the scepter. Devil, you're in trouble. He'll say, yeah, but no, that Jesus won that. You did. Don't matter. He gave me the name. Everything of heaven backs me up, and you know it. See, many people, they come wimping and whining about things. They're trying to, you know. Sickness comes knocking on your door. Do you step up with a scepter? I'm sorry, but sickness don't even belong to me. It is not mine. I'm not going to tolerate it or put up with it. I have authority to resist it. I do not have to have it. I have the authority to put it down. If sickness is for me, it's for Jesus also. I'm in his body. So Jesus, Jesus, well, you're making things weird. Now this is where I'll do. No, it's not. Are you his body or not? If you're supposed to be sick, that means Jesus. How many of you get sick in your body and your head goes camping someplace else and you just, it don't, doesn't experience none of that? You see how sad it is in the body of Christ? We talk about resurrection, but nobody resurrects. We all live like we're not. Instead of the throne, Christians, I'm going to tell you, take on righteousness. Take on your righteousness and take your place. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Let's stand to our feet. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Father, we're here in this place today. There's a building. But Lord God, there's a church inside. There are believers that are built together into the house of God. And I just want to thank you, Lord God. Lord, we have not become this based upon our great deeds or what we've done. And we recognize that fact. But Lord God, we recognize this fact. That we believe that Jesus Christ is Lord. We believe, Lord Jesus, you were raised from the dead. We believe that in our hearts and we don't doubt it. We're saved, hallelujah. We're children of God. And I want to thank you, Lord God, when we believe that. When we did that the first time, Lord God, we got seated in heavenly places. Lord God, we were given a position of authority. And Lord God, one thing I do want to ask, forgive us in our slowness to get a hold of this resurrection idea in the church world. Lord God, it seems that years ago was preached better than it is today. And Lord God, your dear people have not heard many things of truth and their faith has been weak. But Lord God, I want to thank you that these days are over. I think these days are in the past. I thank you for the glory, hallelujah, coming back, Lord God. Lord, I want to thank you that we're taking our place seated far above all principality, power, might, and dominion in every name that's named. I thank you, Lord God, hallelujah, the victorious church, the church without spot or wrinkle, the church, Lord God, walking in the glory, the hand of God upon it. And Lord God, that's what we are. That's what you've made us. You've given us the mind of Christ. Lord God, I want to thank you. Revelation comes to us freely. Lord God, I want to thank you, Lord, we have the great teacher in his Holy Ghost. I am just, the Holy Spirit, I am so thankful. I am so thankful I live in this day and age where you live inside of us to teach us. Hallelujah. I am so thankful, Lord God. How could any of us miss it? We got the best teacher in the world, and that's you, Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. And you, Holy Spirit, you know everything about Jesus. You know everything about what he wants, everything he does. You know it all, and you're living in us, and the scripture tells us that those mysteries, those things aren't hidden from us. Hallelujah. But Lord God, they were hidden for us. Heirs of salvation. And that's us. We're the heirs of salvation. Hallelujah. We're the heirs of born again, seated at the right hand of God. That's who we are. Far above all principality, power, might, and dominion, every name its name. That's who we are. And Lord God, we take our place and our position. And Lord God, we declare the righteousness that was given to us. Surely it wasn't earned, but we don't care if it wasn't earned. It didn't have to be earned by us. Jesus earned it for us and declared us righteous. this. To say any different, Lord, would be a lie, and we refuse to say any different. We're the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. And we thank you, Lord God, that we can come before you today. Lord, as we approach these elements, Lord God, they're for us. They're for the righteous. And it reminds us of our righteousness. They remind us of the one that we belong to, the one we're united with, who's seated far above all principality and power, the one who's in the glories of heaven. Seated with you, hallelujah, at the place of the right hand of God, Lord God, and in this earth. We're your scepter in this earth to carry out your will and your plan. And Lord God, I thank you. Lord God, as we celebrate resurrection, we're celebrating glory. Glory that is in us, but glory that manifests through us. Hallelujah. In the name of Jesus. Lord, a glory that cannot be contained, that it can't be put in bottles and jarred up. Hallelujah. Oh, because it'll just break the jars. That glory is great. And Lord God, that glory pours through us, the church of Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Because we cast out devils. We lay hands on the sick, Lord God. Hallelujah. We raise the dead, Lord God. Lord, we're full of the power and the glory of God. That's what we are. Hallelujah. And I want to thank you, devil. You will bow to the glorious church. You don't have a choice. You will not dominate and rule. You will not dominate and rule in this nation, because there are a people. There are a people that are full of the glory of God who will not allow you to, and you will bow, devil, in the name of Jesus. Glory will be revealed. Glory will come forth. The anointing of God will go forth with demonstration, manifestations of the Holy Ghost. Oh, Lord God, that men's eyes, again, fear will come upon men, and they will look at the church and say, they know God. Hallelujah. And I thank you for it, Lord God. Oh, hallelujah. Raising people up. A resurrected church. The giant is getting up. This is the of the days of the end, where the great giant stands up again and walks across the earth. The giant that shakes off all that held it back, and in great glory it walks in these day and time. And it has a voice of thunder and lightning that goes out, and the earth trembles, and men call on the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, because the great giant is in the land. Hallelujah. And we thank you, Lord God. Oh, Lord God, we thank you. Lord, we realize this. You made us giants. Hallelujah. You did it to us. Hallelujah. Oh, thank you, Lord Jesus. We glorify you. Lord God, as we approach these elements, we don't take them as a lightly thing, Lord God. Reminders of what you did for us. You made us one with you. We didn't become that because of any deed we did. We became one with you because you loved us before the foundation of the world. Before the foundation of the world, you looked down. You saw our condition. You saw how messed up humanity was. And you didn't throw us out. You said, no, I'm bringing them back and giving them my glory. I'm putting resurrection in those people. And the devil will never hold them again. And they will never be susceptible to his ways again. But their influence of my glory will be upon them. And that influence will influence others. And that glory and that power will set the captive free. And the anointing shall be great. And the bondage will be destroyed. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Oh, hallelujah. Hallelujah. Oh God, what wonderful glory. What wonderful glory we have. What wonderful glory. Hallelujah. You did all this for us. Oh Jesus, you're my champion. You're my champion, Jesus. Hallelujah. You're my champion, Jesus. Hallelujah. Oh my. The victorious King. The victorious King. Hallelujah. Father, we thank you for it all. In Jesus' mighty name. Amen.